Hey guys, it's Denver, and you are listening to Let's Have a Drink. If you're listening, that means that you have made it another week. Well, I guess it means that you've made it another 2 weeks, because it's been about 2 weeks since I've done a show. But you know, what I'm finding is that every 2 weeks for right now seems to work better, simply because it takes time for things to happen, both in pop culture and in my personal life. And since the show is a hybrid of both, the last thing I want to do is come back and talk about the same things over and over and over again. Can you come up with something else? And because people are not doing much, stories are lingering a lot longer than I would like. And there's only so many times I can say the same thing or share the same opinion.
Y'all need lip gloss. Y'all mouth getting dry talking about the same thing.
Anything like that. So I like the 2 week time frame, and I think that's going to be it moving forward, unless there's some type of special event, like an award show or something live. You know, something worth talking about. But, you know, in these 2 weeks, a lot has happened. I know that I've lived a lot of life personally, aside from the lawsuit I mentioned last week, which is progressing. You know, I got some new motions filed, got some new hearings scheduled. It's been of a back and forth with the courts, but, you know, hey, I'm learning as I go along. Aside from that, it was my boyfriend's birthday last week. He had some family come in town, which was super fun. You know, the thing about having family in town, especially when they haven't been to your place, is that you want everything to be perfect. And so I spent a good week cleaning, just making sure that everything was nice. You know, when I clean, like, I go in. But I also have ADHD, so it takes me a really long time to go in. So it would take somebody 2 hours, it'll take me in half a day, right? So I spent like a day catching up on laundry, and then I spent a day doing the floors, and then I spent a day, well, I mean, you don't want to do like the kitchen until the last minute, because that's kind of like the center of the house. But, you know, I pulled out all the appliances and got in the crevices and did the tile, and, you know, it's a big deal when I clean. So it took me like a week to do that. And then they came and we went out on a boat, I think Saturday, and had a really, really, really good time. One of the benefits of living in Los Angeles is that, you know, there's water everywhere, and getting a boat for the day is super easy. There are a bunch of services that do it. But what fucked us up was that I had booked this boat a couple weeks out, and then maybe 3 days before, I got an email from the service saying that they were going to automatically cancel it because of COVID-19, and that they were refunding me my money. Luckily, during the reservation process, I had spoken with the captain, and he had sent me his number outside of the service. Because, you know, whenever you book through a rental or like an Airbnb or a Vrbo or anything like that, they always want you to keep your conversations in the service so that they can monitor. Well, that didn't happen this time. So when they canceled it, I was like, hey, so can we still do this? He was like, yeah, they refunded your money. So you just Cash App it or Venmo it to me, and we'll keep the reservation going. Uh-oh. Now, first thought, hell no. I'm not about to send this man some money just randomly, because, you know, with Cash App or Venmo, there's no like guarantee, there's no real refunds, there's no service. You're kind of out for yourself. So what I did was I took his number and I threw it into the Google, and then I, you know, clicked on some things and got to some things, which led me to the man's LinkedIn, gotcha, bitch, which had his company and who he was. And then I found out stuff about his wife. What? Wait. And then I was like, okay, well, I have enough here to where if I do send this man this money, then I can go after him. Again, I'm dealing with court, so, you know.
For my admissions essay, I'm going to tell all of you at Harvard why I'm going to make an amazing lawyer.
So I sent him the money and everything was all good. We got on the boat. Oh, so when he pulled up in the boat, my first thought was, why is it so dirty?
What is this, honey?
Like, that boat on the outside was filthy. There was bird shit on like the little top covery part. And I was really confused. Then he got out and he started giving us like his safety demonstration, or, you know, the life vests are here, don't do this, walk here, don't do that, blah, 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 blah. But it was cool. Like, it ended up being a really, really, really good time. He actually, when we got to where we were going, because we parked next to this like little island, and he just went down under the boat and he was like, hey, you know, do what you want. If you need anything, let me know. Just if you're going to come into the little quarters, just put your mask on. So we weren't masked outside amongst ourselves, but he definitely was, and he took everything really seriously.
Coronavirus!
As far as, you know, like the coronavirus and everything. But it was a really, really, really great time. So then the following day, we decided to drive up to Palm Springs to go ride ATVs. at the time. I wish somebody would have told me, but that day ended up being the hottest day on record for the entire earth. In Death Valley, which is just 4 hours north of here, they recorded a record temperature of 130 degrees, which is in fact the hottest recorded temperature in history. But fuck it, we were going to do ATVs. Woo-hoo! So we drove up to the ATV place, which is like an hour, 20 minutes away or so. And the lady's like, hey, so for whatever reason, everybody wants to do this today and there's a 5 hour wait. Oh, hell no. But we'll text you. So we were like, okay, gave her my number. We drove another 20 minutes into downtown Palm Springs. We were just going to hang out, get some drinks, get some food, you know, bar hop, do that sort of thing. And then maybe I say like an hour in, as soon as we had finished eating, I got the text saying,
where you
hey,
at,
come
N-word?
Down. So then we raced back and rode ATVs in the desert. And at the time, I believe my car said it was 117 degrees. So I didn't know it was going to be that hot. Had I known, I mean, I probably still would have done it. But it was compounded by the fact that we had on goggles and masks and plastic hair nets for the helmets and then a helmet. And it was just hot.
So goddamn hot. Shit.
And we're racing in sand and gravel up and down mountains. But it was a great time. It was a really great time. It wasn't my first time. I'd done it before, but it definitely wasn't that hot. And that took us into our short stay in Palm Springs throughout my boyfriend's actual birthday, which was Tuesday. We stayed Sunday through Wednesday. And I just have to say that this time we stayed at this hotel called the Arrive Hotel in Palm Springs. And I had such a great time. It was my first time at the Arrive. And everything was just, it was super cute. It was, let me just say this. Now, when you go to Palm Springs, you can have a couple different kinds of trips, right? You can have the quick getaway where you're just going down. You don't really care where you stay. You're just there for the pool and to be hot, right? Or you can go for the whole like luxury spa kind of experience where you're in the mountains and you're at a spa resort and there's, you know, whirlpools and massages and super peaceful vibes. Or you can go and get a house and do the, you know, like the whole super fun party thing. Like you have a bunch of different types of Palm Springs excursions. And for this one, we just wanted to go and stay somewhere cute and really just get out of the city. So we ended up at the Arrive. Now, so we get to the Arrive and we park and we're walking along the property trying to find the front desk. And we walk into the bar and I'm like, hey, you know, can you tell me where the front desk is? And the guy was like, oh, this is it. I'm sorry. What? So he stops making a drink, goes to the computer and takes all of our information. And he's like, so here, you guys get a check-in cocktail. Pick whatever you want. So I got a margarita and Jonte got, I think, a Paloma. And so he, you know, finishes getting our stuff and he gives us our keys. He's like, you're in this room. It's this way. Here's a map. Here's a parking permit. And text us if you need anything. The way the Arrive functions is that you text for whatever it is that you need, whether it's housekeeping or room service or to ask a question. You just text them and they text you back. And so by that, there are no phones in the hotel rooms or anything like that. It's all done via text, which is amazing. So then we made our way to our rooms. We made our way to our room and got in and it was super cute. The way they have them set up, there's only like 30 rooms on the property, right? And if you have a ground level room, everything's set up like a studio apartment. And the ground level rooms have patios with chairs and a fire pit. And inside, it's super modern and super contemporary. The rooms are big, first of all. Like, they're humongous for hotel rooms. And they have automatic blinds. And because of COVID, everything was sanitized and sterile. On the bed were bundles of towels that had been saran wrapped after they had been cleaned with big clean stickers on them, which I thought was super. It was a really nice touch. And the remotes were sanitized the same way they were wrapped. So you had to unwrap your remote. It's just, everything was gorgeous for a mid-range hotel room. And I say mid-range because it was one of those quick, like, get out of town situations. So the rooms are only, I'd say, one something a night, which if you're looking at hotels, it's definitely on the lower end of the spectrum. But for what it was, I was blown away. Not only like do you text for like towels and things like that, but if you want to order a drink or food, you text them. Oh, hello. The most important part, the Arrive is 21 and up. So there are no kids, which I'm not at that point in my life where I want your kid to be anywhere near me. Maybe it'll come. Maybe it won't. I'm just not there right now. So it's adults only and it's dog friendly. I didn't bring Kenzo, but I will next time. Maybe. We'll see. But I like having the option of bringing Kenzo. Whether I do or not, I just like having the option. He's only been out of town, I think, twice, and we had a house both times. Was that once? Maybe one. No, twice? I don't know. He doesn't travel a lot, but he will. Oh, no, he was out of town definitely twice. Once in Palm Springs, and I brought him home to my mom's house. So he's been out of town twice. So anyway, it's dog-friendly, super nice rooms, 21 and up. When you're in the pool, you can text them and they'll bring you a drink to the pool. We had a really, really, really good stay at the Arrive. So if you're going to Palm Springs for a quick getaway, it's something that I would 100% recommend. And this is not an ad. It's just me sharing how I felt about the hotel. And I think I'm trying to do this thing where it's easy to sit here and talk about things that you don't like or things you want to pick apart or things you want to criticize. But I don't think that I do enough of sharing the things that I love or praising the things that I like or highlighting the things that I enjoy. It's easy to criticize, but you know, the things that I like should get just as much praise and just as much recognition. So shout out to the Arrive for an amazing stay, and I can't wait to go back. And that brings me to this week's drink. I don't know if you can already hear it in my voice, but I've had two. It is called the Desert Water, obviously inspired by my trip to the desert this week and the fact that I'm still very much so on this little diet of mine. So it is a low-calorie, cucumbery, spicy tequila concoction. It's like 100 and something calories. If you go to the Drink with Denver Instagram, you'll see a really festive video that I made when I was making it. I think I'm going to do more of those. I think that, I don't know, just adds a little pizzazz. And that reminds me, you know, I've gotten some requests for brown liquor based drinks. And if you know me, you know, for the last like 10 years, all I've really consumed was whiskey and Hennessy and dark liquor. But that's just not where I am right now. I'm sorry, but forgive me. I'm giving you things that I actually like to drink and actually want to consume. And as much as I love Hennessy and I love Bullet and bourbon and rye and, you know, I love it all. It's just it doesn't align with my current with my current physical goals.
I want to lose 3 pounds.
So the low-calorie tequila is where it is. And vodka makes me angry, so I won't be doing very many vodka cocktails. But the good thing about what I do make is that you can easily substitute a vodka for a tequila, and it should taste, you know, like you would expect a vodka to taste. But yeah, so there's tequila and jalapeno syrup, which was super fun to make. I say super a lot. Am I fucking Britney Spears? I don't know, but there was jalapeno syrup and grapefruit juice and lime juice. And yeah, check it out. Drink with Denver on Instagram. Okay, so that's enough rambling. Let's get into the actual show. Actually, you know what? No. Let me back up. Because this is part of the actual show now. I've gotten some feedback saying that you guys want longer shows. So the only way for me to make them longer is to ramble. Rambling is not my thing. I'm not a rambler. So I'm gonna try to fill in just some more content, and hopefully, you know, it helps somebody.
Hope I help somebody. Between.
So Megan Thee Stallion came out and confirmed that she was indeed shot by Tory Lanez. We been knew. And you know what? Watching her tell the story on Instagram, it really broke my heart. Like you could hear just the frustration and the hurt and the
bitch, I can't believe I have to actually deal with this shit
in her voice. And it's sad all around. And when you think about it, like when you think about, I think we've been a little desensitized to gun violence, but when you think about the fact that a man, a little man, pulled out a gun, fired it, and hit Megan Thee Stallion in the feet, no less.
And my pinky toe.
It's shocking. Had anything gone wrong? Had he aimed a little bit higher? If he could, I don't know. Had he aimed to the right or to the left? Had he miscalculated what he was doing in any way, shape, form, or fashion? Megan Thee Stallion could not be here right now. And that's really fucked up. And I fully believe that Megan did not want to tell the story.
Yes, this nigga Tory shot me.
I think that, well, I mean, I don't even think anymore. She said it. She was trying to protect Tory.
You think I'm about to tell the police that we niggas, us black people, got a gun in the car? You want me to tell the laws that we got a gun in the car so they can shoot all of us up? Nigga, I'm scared. It's a fucking helicopter over us.
She did not want that man to go to jail, get in trouble, But at the same time, you can only hold your tongue for so long, especially when people are trying to play you or lie on you.
And you got your publicists and your people going to these blogs lying and shit.
So I completely understand why she finally decided to tell the story. It's just, it's a really fucked up story that she had to tell. But also, when you think about it, she didn't really say anything that we didn't already know, right? I think that, you know, if you're smart or if you've been paying attention, then you would have already pieced together every single thing that Megan said. She said that it didn't happen in Kylie's house. It said they were people arguing in the car. She got shot when she was leaving by Tori. The neighbors called the police after they left Kylie's and were by her house. She didn't say anything because she didn't want, you know, anybody to get in trouble. Like, those are all things that we knew. The only new thing that she said was that she directly implicated Tory Lanez, and even that wasn't really that new, you know? And I hate to say it, but, it, you know, it's fuck Tory Lanez forever. Forever.
Fuck you!
Oh, fuck you!
Fuck you!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you!
Fuck you! Fuck you!
I'll fuck you in the ass!
And I was just warming up to Tory Lanez and his high school vocals. You know those guys from high school who swore they could sing? And that was like their only claim to fame. So they would always sing in the hallways and sing at every talent show and every function. They were just always singing. And they could, you know, they could kind of sing. But then, like, when you take a step back and listen to it, they were always kind of nasally and always kind of pitchy. And their tone was always kind of off. But they could sing. Like, they didn't sound bad. You know, they could sing, but they couldn't sing the way they thought they could sing, but it didn't stop them from singing. Those are Tory Lanez vocals to me. And I wasn't mad at him, but I'm mad at him now. And why is mama name him Daystar? That's another thing. Daystar Peterson, Patterson. I couldn't even, you know what? I don't know the last name because I couldn't get past the Daystar and the 5'3".
Oh my damn.
Aside from that, Trey Songz is out here peeing on people. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Actually, I can. So, Selena Powell, known groupie, she did an interview with her homegirl. And her homegirl basically said that Trey peed on her without consent at a hotel.
Oh, which one of y'all?
And at one point kidnapped her and wouldn't let her leave. And, you know, Selena Powell, she's a lot of things.
She is such a hoe.
And I don't know much about her or her friend. But, you know, I believe her. And I'm going to tell you why I believe her. It's because of Trey's response. It's clear from how he popped off on the internet that they had a familiarity. And it's clear that they were both with the shits because, I don't know if you saw, but one of those messages, the friend was like, let me eat your ass. And they were sharing numbers and locations, you know, just kind of back and forth with a quickness. And you don't do that unless you know somebody to a certain degree, especially as an entertainer. So that alone lets me know that Trey and old girl had something. They had a history.
I mean, that's nasty.
Does that history equate to him doing what she says he did? Not necessarily. But when you take that history and you compile it with the other accusations and the other allegations and other instances in which women have accused Trey of similar behavior, you start to notice a pattern. The pattern is enough. Hell, even Bebe Rexha was on in an interview in a clip saying that Trey pushed her up against the wall, kissed her, and something else happened that she would not say on air, but she said happened. So Trey is an entire sexual predator. And I know he's a sexual deviant because a friend of mine, never mind. Trey's a predator, y'all. And it sucks. Because I liked his little circle. You know what? I was going to talk about his new single in the music section of the show, but now I'm not. Because you're out here peeing on people. You are out here peeing on people.
I mean, that's nasty.
Without consent. That's the most important part. If Trey wants to pee on somebody, he can pee on whoever he wants to pee on as long as they say that he can pee on them. But if he's out here peeing without consent, that's the issue for me.
Which one of y'all?
So, I didn't even really expect this segue, but since we're here talking about pee, Master P is upset with Monica for, I guess, getting Kim Kardashian to help get C-Murder out of jail. Master P decided to go on a Instagram rant basically airing out his brother C-Murder and airing out their personal grievances, and in that rant he name dropped Monica and Kim Kardashian. Long story short, in C-Murder's thank you post he called Monica his ride or die and he called Kim Kardashian his angel, and Master P feels some kind of way because he's been the one behind the scenes trying to help get C-Murder out of jail for all these years. And he's not really getting the recognition. So in him name-dropping Monica, Monica responded like, sir, you don't know me. You don't know the relationship between me and your brother. And I suggest you talk to him and Silk the Shocker. Master P then popped back, talking about, I don't know you. I don't want to get to know you. All I know is If you've been here all this time, why are you and Kim Kardashian just now getting involved? And Monica was like, you better check the prison records because I've been on that visitation list for the last 18 years. Which, to pivot, does that mean that Monica has been visiting C. Murder while she was married to Shannon Brown?
I know you fucking lying, bitch.
If so, that's a little problematic, I must say. Anyway, so I don't know what happened after that, because Romeo had some things to say, and then Master P got back on the internet and was like, I'm sorry that Monica got brought into this. This is an issue between me and my brother, and it's family stuff, and everybody who wants to help get C-Murder out of jail can get C-Murder out of jail. And so then another woman, who I still don't know her name, got on the internet with screenshots talking about Monica, who I've been the one to hold C-Murder down all these years, and was showing pictures of her at the jail with C-Murder and some kids, and, you know, I don't know what's going on.
Curtis, I'm your woman!
But it seems like all of a sudden everybody wants attention for trying to get C-Murder out of jail, or trying to be there for C-Murder, when nobody thus far has been able to help C-Murder, for whatever reason. And I will say, if the way Master P went about this whole thing on social media is any indication of how he went about getting his brother out of jail over these years, then I can see why C-Murder is still behind bars. Because it really seems to me like Master P is upset that he, I guess, might be looked at as a failure because he was unable to do what I think Monica and Kim are about to do. And I don't know how complicated the situation is behind the scenes, but what I believe is that if there are people coming to help you achieve what you are trying to achieve and have been unable to achieve on your own, let them help without making it a personal matter. If you want your brother out of jail, let them get your brother out of jail, period. Like, it's not about who gets the credit or who did what or who was there all along. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Speaking of Kim, you know what? She's been really quiet on this whole election thing outside of her husband. And Kamala Harris was announced as VP this past week, and you would think, or I would think, that she would at least acknowledge it or congratulate her or something. And I understand that it's probably complicated for her considering her use of the current administration and her husband, but I'm watching. Like, you can't have Taylor Swift out here mobilizing people to vote Trump out of office and Kim Kardashian over here stuck on Skims. It's not going to work for me. Now, Kamala Harris, I'm really excited about this Biden-Harris ticket. And you know, we can drill down and pick out people's faults all day long, because I think at the end of the day, there's no one perfect that's going to run this country. The foundation of this country in our society is fundamentally broken. There is no magical man or woman that's going to just rise to power and completely dismantle all the shit that's fucked up in the United States. The country was built so that that actually can't happen. We have Trump out here fucking shit up. And he's not doing it alone. Like, he has dozens of people in the House and in the Senate and governors and cabinet members, and they're all working together. Trump is one big cog in a very large wheel that is the United States of America. So with that being said, I don't really care if you don't like Joe or Kamala. Like, right now, we need a different cog to stop the wheel from turning the way it's turning. We cannot keep the same cog in place. And unfortunately for some of you, the Biden-Kamala cog is the only other goddamn cog that we have. You have to lose this idea of replacing the whole wheel, because it's just not going to happen. Not with a Bernie, not with an Elizabeth Warren, not with anyone. Like, we have to do this piece by piece. And I think the Biden-Kamala ticket is the first piece. Anyway, I like Kamala. I think Biden was smart for picking Kamala. And I think that she will be the one to take down Trump. And I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to say.
The divide is going to get worse and worse the more time that we just ignore what's really going on.
Now watch me.
Now, before I get into my usual reality TV goodness, I have to shout out this movie called Chemical Hearts. It is out now on Amazon Prime, and if you caught my Instagram stories this weekend, they sent over this super cute dinner with food from, I think it's Petit Trois, this local restaurant here in LA, and a box of other really dope stuff from local businesses to help make like a DIY dinner and a movie to celebrate the premiere. As for the movie itself, you know, I'm not really an emotional drama kind of person. I'm an empath, so I always end up crying at everything. And I hate being sad. And she's a sad one. It's very much A Fault in Our Stars, Remember Me. It's along those lines. The plot, boy meets girl, falls in love with girl. In this particular movie, she has a disability and some big secret from an accident that she got into that caused her disability. And they're happy for a minute, and then they're all sad, and then sad, and sad, and sad, and sad, and then it's over. So if you're into that kind of thing, I say check it out. If not, you may want to give it a skip. But yeah, shout out to Chemical Hearts. Because I was in the desert this week, I've been catching up on my shows since I've been back, and I have some thoughts, namely on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I don't even really remember what happened in this episode besides the dinner in Dorit's little tacky room. But what I do want to say is that Denise Richards is lying. She's lying.
I've seen her a couple times in my life.
And I don't know how else I can say it. She is lying. I don't know her motivations for lying. I don't know why she's lying. But she is, in fact, lying. And I've said this about a lot of things, but we've been new. What sealed the deal for me is, much like Erica said when she got Brandy Glanville's phone at that dinner and was scrolling through the texts, it's not about what was in the conversation. It's about the fact that there was a lengthy conversation spanning back a year prior. And for Denise to have sat there and said that she barely knew this woman, that they didn't have a relationship, and that
she wanted to do a podcast, and I told her I was out of town, so she asked, could she come up and interview me and the cast?
She tried to play her off as just some girl who did a podcast and came down to interview her for a movie. That tells you all you need to know. She's lying. She's trying to hide something. And I like Garcelle. I think Garcelle is giving Denise a pass. I think Garcelle feels like she needs a friend coming into the season because she doesn't really gel with any of the other girls, which I completely get. I do think her question to Lisa Rinna about her daughter's anorexia was a bit inappropriate, but I also think that it was specifically to take the heat off of Denise in that moment. I don't think Garcelle's afraid of confrontation or difficult moments or heat or pressure or anything like that. So I think that at the time, and I think this was not even this past episode, but the one before, when she asked if her dancing naked on Instagram affected her daughter's anorexia, it was in the middle of the girls ganging up on Denise. And I think Garcelle instinctively used that as an opportunity to take the heat off of Denise and start some shit involving herself, which is cool. Like, that's cool. As a friend, if you see your friend is drowning, you throw them a life raft. I completely get it. However, I think that life raft in the form of that question was a bit much. And I think it's a bit unfair to try to insinuate that somebody dancing on social media is the root cause of their child's eating disorder. And I say that because with eating disorders, there's always going to be someone, something, some influence, whether it's a mother, a sister, a model, an actress, a friend. At the root of an eating disorder, there's always the need to compare your body with somebody else's. It doesn't matter who. Oftentimes it's people close to the person, but oftentimes it's not. It's a standard, right? Lisa Rinna, because she is so waif thin, she fits into a standard. But her daughter having an eating disorder, she would have and could have and probably looked at plenty of people outside of her mother for, you know, what she believed was a representation of a good body image. That's not Lisa Rinna's fault. To insinuate to a mother whose daughter is struggling with an eating disorder that she is the root cause for dancing on Instagram, I think is a bit much. It wasn't, you know, do you think living in Hollywood, or do you think the pressures of being an actress, do you think her daughter wanting to be a model, like all of these external influences come together to create the ideal body image. And I think for Garcelle to put that on Lisa Rinna was a lot. Personally, do I think that Lisa Rinna's body could have been one of those factors? It's possible. Was it the factor? Absolutely not. Back to Denise and Brandy. Now, Kyle said, I've known Brandy for many years and I do not know Brandy to be a liar. And I think that's a very true statement. Even when Brandy was accusing Mauricio of having an affair on Kyle, which Kyle denied, Brandy very much so said, that's what I heard, that's what I read, that's in the tabloids. All of those things are true. That's what she read, that's what she heard, and that's what was in the tabloids. Brandy didn't make that up. She didn't pull it out of her ass. She repeated the information, which I think she had every right to do so. Whether it was true or not, that wasn't her to decide. So I do think Kyle's statement is very valid in that regard. And as I said last week, I don't believe Brandy's going to get on TV and say that she sucked on somebody's woohoo if she's lying. I just don't. Another thing that I'm happy was pointed out is how Denise completely flipped the script on Lisa Rinna on that vacation breakfast and made her feel like she was wrong. I said it at the time to Jonte when we were watching it. That was one of the most masterful manipulations I've seen in a long time. Denise sat at that dinner and lied to everybody. Did not explain a thing. And then went to breakfast with Lisa the next morning and had Lisa Rinna in tears. In tears. Talking about, I don't think you were being a good friend to me. Why didn't you defend me? Bitch, you were lying. She skated around every ounce of accountability and had Lisa Rinna feeling bad for knowing what she knows and believing what she believes. That was crazy to me. It was the gaslight of all gaslighting. I remember when I was watching it happen in real time a couple weeks ago, I was like, She really, there's just no way. There's absolutely no way. It was powerful. And so when Brandy was like, I think she's a bigger manipulator than LVP, I was like, you know what? You might be right. Again, you might be right. Because the way she flipped it on Lisa, it was unlike anything I had ever seen. And as far as the Real Housewives of Potomac goes, I don't know. I'm just annoyed. I'm annoyed with the whole thing. Like, I'm annoyed with Candace. I don't really care for her. I'm annoyed with Monique, even though I like Monique. I think I'm because I know that this fight is going to happen, I'm just waiting to get to the fight. And so until we get there, I don't care. I don't care about Ashley's baby. I don't care about Jamal and Giselle. I don't care. So speed it up, get to the fight, and then I think we'll have a show. Until then, I cannot be bothered to watch these fashions and these wigs and this decor. I can't do it. It pains me. It is paining me. But I'm gonna keep watching though. Oh, hold up. I do want to say that I think it's very, very bizarre that these women who basically accused Michael Darby of sexual assault and said that they witnessed it are all of a sudden all buddy-buddy and all up in Ashley's house. That, to me, is weird. And I don't like it. I don't know if you've seen, but I did a reel for Fenty Skin. And I have so many issues with Instagram reels right now. I was reading about how publishers aren't devoting any time to Instagram reels because there's no way to monetize it. And there's no revenue. That's problem number one. Problem number two is that the implementation is just, it's terrible. There's no way to find reels except for your explore page. You can't find your friends' reels in a feed outside of the main Instagram feed. They're cropped to high hell in the Instagram feed, and they're only 15 seconds long. Part of what I was reading is that because Instagram reels, they are only 15 seconds long, a lot of publishers aren't dedicating the workflow to producing video for reels. So when you're making 1-minute videos for TikTok and 1-minute videos for Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, you make one video that can go everywhere, but then you have to re-edit it and cut it down and strip it down and recompile it in under 15 seconds for Instagram Reels, and it's not worth it. You might as well just put the video you made for everywhere else on Instagram. And I think the main problem is that Instagram is trying to be so many things to so many people. It's trying to be the one-stop shop for digital social video content. It wants so much market share to Facebook. It wants to be YouTube with IGTV. It wants to be Instagram. It wants to be TikTok. But it also can't cannibalize itself. So it has to make reels 15 seconds short. Otherwise, why wouldn't you just make an Instagram feed video? And Instagram feed videos have to have the compression and resolution constraints that IGTV videos don't have when they're long form. You know, like they keep having to cut themselves short in order to not step on themselves, and it's fucking everything up for everybody. But all in all, I hope you guys liked the reel. It was fun to use. It was fun to make. Ooh, I'm gonna do a long form review with initial thoughts and impressions because I've been using it now for about 2 weeks, and I definitely have some thoughts. And I'm trying to do more video content, so I will do it there. So be on the lookout for that. What else is happening in the tech world? Oh, BlackBerry is gonna make a return. So the brand BlackBerry has been licensed by a Texas startup called Onward Mobility, and they basically plan to release a 5G BlackBerry device that's running on Android and has a physical keyboard in 2021, which I don't really think that there's a place for BlackBerry right now, especially running on Android. They've tried this before. They had an Android BlackBerry, a touchscreen BlackBerry. It's just the brand itself is dead. There's not enough of a marketplace to support a BlackBerry right now. And I'm gonna get to that a little bit later with this other topic. But before that, like, the game has changed. The landscape has changed. You can't just be like, oh, here's a BlackBerry phone that looks like an old BlackBerry and has a full keyboard, when none of the apps out are formulated for keyboards. The app marketplace isn't ready for keyboards. Keyboards are kind of obsolete in terms of phones. So when you're dealing with apps and you're dealing with devices and specs, all of the developers that make the apps that make our phones run, that make them personal, they're all, like, apps are built to certain codes, right? So you have the screens, you have the input, you have the resolution, the images. All of those would essentially have to be remade and custom to accommodate a single BlackBerry device. And nobody's going to do that. So unless you're going to make one of the many Samsung phones that have keyboards, or the LG phones that have keyboards, a BlackBerry branded phone in 2021 is not that exciting, because there's just not the marketplace to support it. BlackBerry had some software advantages, and they had a really a truly distinct hardware advantage at the time. But those advantages are now limitations, and it's just, it's not going to work. There's been some pretty interesting stuff happening with Apple and the App Store and Fortnite. So long story short, well, I guess I should preface it with some backstory, right? So every app that's in Apple's App Store, if you are charging an in-app purchase, Apple takes 30% off top no matter what. It's been that way since the dawn of the App Store, right? Well, Fortnite, which is arguably one of the largest mobile games in the world, decided that Apple's taking too much money, and so they decided to violate Apple's terms and implement their own in-game purchase system that bypasses Apple's payment requirement and bypasses giving Apple that 30% fee. Because of that, Apple decided to kick Fortnite out of the App Store altogether, and so now they're trying to sue Apple, claiming a monopoly and antitrust and unfair practices and all of this stuff. And here's why it's significant. Apple claims that because the App Store is theirs, they built it, they manage it, they run it, they control it, their 30% fee is just their percent for letting your app in the store, right? So Epic, the company who makes Fortnite, and a bunch of other big companies like Microsoft and Spotify, they're upset with Apple. They're tired of playing by Apple's terms, and they claim that because the iPhone is so ubiquitous and it's the largest platform, that Apple shouldn't be able to just do whatever they want with it and charge whatever they want and nobody else gets a say. They're trying to make the argument that between the iPhone and Macs and iPads, that Apple has created a monopoly in the digital landscape and it's unfair. They're basically saying that, Apple, your platform is so big, we have no choice but to put our apps on this platform if we want to get them to people. And by doing so, you're forcing us to give you this 30% fee off of everything. And we shouldn't be forced to do that. But we don't have a way around it because you guys, your platform is so big. And Apple's like, their argument's basically, well, hold on now, because we built this. Other people have built their own things. Android store, Windows store, whatever. Because we built this, because we regulate it, because it's ours, you don't have to be involved. If you want to be involved, then you have to play by our rules. Which, you know, fair enough. I mean, when you think about it, it's a lot like going into a Starbucks and being like, hey, I have my own coffee. Because Starbucks, you're on every corner in America, you need to let me sell my coffee in your store and not get a percentage of anything that I make because you're everywhere. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But to Epic and a couple other big companies, it does. And that's the argument they're trying to make for Apple. So it's going to be a long shot, but if Epic were to win, then it would fundamentally change the App Store as we know it. And I don't know if we want to. I don't know if we want to do that. Like, there is something about the security and the safety and the regulations of getting apps from an App Store and having them go through Apple and the approval process. And you know that when you're putting your card in to iTunes or the App Store, that it's pretty well protected. If everybody starts implementing their own payment systems and running payments through all of these other different third-party places, then that really does have the potential to fuck shit up for a lot of people. And who's that going to fall back on? Apple. So I understand why everything's closed. I really do. As of now, Fortnite is still banned. It's an ongoing battle, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on, because what changes for Apple is ultimately going to change for Google and everybody else. Mariah Carey is getting ready to release a new album called The Rarities, and it's comprised of old, unreleased, and never-before-heard songs. The first single from the album is called Save the Day, featuring Miss Lauryn Hill, and that's really all I have to say because I don't like the song not one bit. I think everybody knows that I am A-Lam. Mariah is the songwriter of all songwriters to me. She really can do no wrong, but sis should have kept this one in the vault. I can say that. I can love an artist with all of my being, like I do love Mariah Carey with all of my being. She has some of my favorite songs on this planet. In that same breath, I can also say that Save the Day needs to go back to where it came from and stay there. It needs to go back to the vault. I don't like nothing about it. And that's okay. This one's not for me. Ciara came back with a new song featuring Esther Dean called Rooted. And, you know, I'm trying to be delicate with what I say. It's also why I deleted. So I initially tweeted, Beyonce gave us Black is King and The Gift. And Ciara gave us Black is Something and The Gift card. Because when I saw the video, my initial thoughts were, what the fuck is this? But then I deleted it. I deleted that tweet. Because right now, I see what Ciara's trying to do with this whole Black empowerment thing. And I appreciate her for that. So even if the song sucks, even if the video was tragic, even if I don't like a single thing about it, I'm gonna just let her do her and be rooted over there and let that be that.
I'm a black man. I'm there.
Or whatever that thing. I'm gonna just apply that to Sierra for this song because oof, oof, go Sierra. I was running through new music on Apple Music the other day and I came across this really interesting cover of The Thong Song by Amber Mark. And I don't hate it. I mean, I don't love it, but it's definitely one of those songs that I would throw on like a random playlist when I'm in the car with my mom, just because it's safe. And it would be interesting to, I guess, talk about. I don't know. Like, I don't hate it for whatever reason. It reminds me of Lion Babe's cover of Hot in Her by Nelly. Like, they're kind of in the same vein for me. Miley Cyrus came back with Midnight Sky, and I absolutely love it. Now, say what you want about Miley Cyrus as a person, but you cannot deny that the girl makes good music. And there's something about her voice, like she has one of, I think, personally, one of the best voices in pop music. And I've been waiting for her to do this whole Stevie Nicks thing for a really long time. I know I've tweeted about it, and she's finally doing it, and it exceeded all of my expectations. And I'm really excited to see what her new project's gonna give. What else do I like? I see WAP is still dominating, which I love. I love that it debuted at number one. I love that it's breaking all of these records. It's been really interesting to see some of the response to the song. From men, I think from straight men in particular, how you can rap about bitches and hoes and pussy all day long is beyond me, and then turn around and get mad at a woman for doing the same thing. And honestly, I think all of the WAP criticism comes down to one thing, and that's perspective. I think a lot of times straight men have a really hard time listening to a woman's sexuality when they have complete ownership. It's not Cardi and Megan saying, I want that dick. It's Cardi and Megan saying, give me that dick. There's an authoritative kind of message behind that song. And for whatever reason, men don't like when they're not the authority. Men will say all day long, I'll give you this and I'll give you that and I'll do this to you and I'll do that. But if a woman says, I'll take this, do this to me, this is what I want you to do, then it's, oh, this is too much. And it's been very interesting to watch the discourse take place. But love the song. Shout out to Billboard and the number one and shit. Like, that's awesome. And lastly, I want to say that I've still been trying to get into B7. I've tried. I'm still trying. And as it stands, I really, really, really enjoy Say Something. And that's it. And I think that's where I'm going to have to leave it. Unfortunately. I did my best. I tried. Like, that album is not giving me my Brandy fix. So I have turned to Moesha on Netflix. And that's giving me all of the Brandy that I need for right now. And that's good enough for me. That is good enough for me. And yeah, so that brings me to everything that I wanted to talk about this week. Thank you guys for listening to Let's Have a Drink. I have a great time doing the show. I'm working on a website for the show. It's almost done. Drinkwithdenver.com. It'll have all of the episodes and recipes and everything just kind of all in one place that I'm super excited about. The numbers are growing, so I appreciate all of you for your kind words and retweeting things and sharing things. It truly means a lot. I am very appreciative of all of the feedback, both positive and negative, that I've been receiving. I've been trying to incorporate some of that feedback into the show. So, you'll start to see them maybe get a little bit longer. You'll hear me a little bit louder. I've turned this mic as loud as it can go. Things like that. So if you do have any other comments or suggestions, feel free to drop me a line on Twitter at DrinkWithDenver or my other Twitter, my personal Twitter at _JustDenver, Instagram, DrinkWithDenver, and hopefully soon on DrinkWithDenver.com.